Fred Film Radio from Cannes Film Festival, France.
Hello and welcome to Global Critics Voices. I'm Rita Di Santo, the host, and we are live from Cannes and with two splendid colleagues.
Hi, my name is Vladimir Chernyshev. I'm from Ukraine and covering for Ukrainska Pravda and Elbe.ua.
Hello, my name is Tilda Sujeli. I'm a Chinese journalist and film critic. I'm representing a print outlet called World Screen, based in Beijing.
Wonderful. And today we are here talking about three movies in competition, three ways of losing control. Today we are talking about The Unknown by Arthur Harari, a French director, and then a Russian director, Minotaur by Andrei, please help me.
Zvyagintsev.
Oh, wonderful. Zvyagintsev.
Yes.
Try to say the name of this Russian.
Helping me again. Zvyagintsev. Zvyagintsev. I'm trying my best.
Tell again, please.
Zvyagintsev.
It's Zvyagintsev. Okay, wonderful. We will never forget. And then the third movie is Amarga Navidad, or Bitter Christmas, by Pedro Almodovar. All in competition, all about the fracture of identity, of a country, of the line between life and art. So, first up, Arthur Harari's The Unknown. If you like Anatomy of a Fall, you know Harari deals in moral mess. And here he goes further. Léa Seydoux and Neil Schoener in a body swap thriller adapted from his brother's graphic novel. It's a dazzling game of doublers and doppelgangers. And somebody else said it's a psychological rattling. It's not an horror, but it sticks under your skin. And some call it brilliant, others say it's collapsed under its own ambition. So I'm now talking with my colleagues, does the body swap work as metaphor, or does it stay or a gimmick?
So do you want to start?
You maybe? Start.
Okay. Actually, even though most of my colleagues just named it one of the most cringy films of all time, I actually think that it has some pretty strong core, and there are pretty interesting reminiscences to Michelangelo Antonioni and some other Italian and British directors. Also, the thing I liked that this film tries to deal with body horror genre in not regular body horror method. Yes, and even though the whole cinematic and visual language looks pretty weird and strange, I don't think it's so cringy. I actually think that this language tries to provoke certain objective feelings inside
you. Yes, but
you.
The first 10 minutes, I mean, we have a disco. It's quite repetitive, the beginning of the movie. The protagonist goes inside of this party, disco, mm-hmm. and then the music, the dance, then boom.
I actually think the first scene is quite powerful to me, with that carnival and like people about blinding sexes and genders, and they're just celebrating something I can't really know. But and you saw this man very lost and trying to search for something. I think that's a very interesting opening scene.
Yeah, it's because it's about identity. It's losing
of
the
course.
Identity. It's very clear after 5 minutes why we need the 10 minutes of the music. I mean, we understand. And then he got lost in the basement.
Actually, I do agree with you that I also like the first thing because it's not only about identity. I think it's mostly about the physiological way to understand yourself. Because, you know, there are a lot of people in our world who don't feel great in their body. Mm. And maybe that was the purpose. Even though I think that the whole experiment like this is even procedurally interesting, not only in transpersona ways, but also like in some different dramatic ways.
Yeah, in fact, I think, the idea of the movie is brilliant because like somebody's walking, wake up with in somebody else's body. I don't know this. At the end, after watching so many movies, I think why isn't happy to wake up in an, such a lovely body. It's a beautiful woman, not very good looking young man.
Yes, I would circle out Leia Seydoux's performance in this film. I have to say, generally, I am a bit like feeling average about this film. That's really not my type of film, but I think her performance is amazing, and I have to say that's kind of a sacrifice that a stunning actress would like to show her body in that level of truth. Like, I wouldn't feel so comfortable with showing my, you know, tummies and the flaps, but I think that way it's brilliant.
I like this film.
Yeah, but Vladimir, you taught me something that very inspiring to me, that you said you finally understand what transgender yes. people thinking about,
exactly.
how they feel.
I had some problems with understanding what actually transpersonas feel when they don't actually feel inside their body, their own bodies. And, you know, talking about this stuff, do you remember Titan by Julia Ducournau, which won Palme d'Or 4 years ago? No, it was more than 4 years, it was 6 years ago actually. And even though so many people were saying to me that actually this film is also telling us about feeling like about this abject feeling of not being in your own body, I didn't recognize that in Titan, for instance. But in this film, when I finally saw that, like, as you said before, pretty young and beautiful woman, which is played by gorgeous Leia Seydoux, which is still cannot be accepted by the soul which just entered in inside this body. And I actually can understand it, because I also wouldn't understand to be in a female body, because it's completely different from the man one. So yeah,
but, I mean, this is great, brilliant what you're saying, but I'm thinking about the idea is brilliant of this movie. I think the director is like really in love with this subject. Do we really need 2 hours and a half? Is 2 hours and a half or longer?
A bit longer, I think.
I don't remember.
Yeah, do we really?
90 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, because there are lots of. I mean, at the beginning is interesting, and then the other woman, then too many other moments that they completely go outside of what he was saying. You don't understand where this movie is going, and then what's happened at the end. Come on, it's okay. Let's close and go to the next one, otherwise we will fight on the balcony of the press, La Croisette. So the next movie we would like to talk about is Minotaur.
By André Zvegensen.
Yes, thank you. He returns to Cannes, set in 2022, Russia. It follows a company director who discovers his wife's affair while the state demands he send 14 employees to war. So this director has always made the personal political. Here, the might is literal. 14 stories from the Minotaur. It's about a beast inside each of us. I feel it's an allegory, and it's like his soul of this whole country being corrupted. It's slow, quiet, devastating, and the director is out for the 25% of the Palmo Oz right. It's like, it's like a very well-made movie.
Yes, I actually think, even though I'm Ukrainian, I think this film is about to win Palme d'Or, even though I hate it because the director is Russian. But yes, for me it's the most interesting and powerful film in this year's competition so far, because you should have a really powerful talent just to combine really old mythos about Minotaur and 14 victims and modern conjecture of Russia. And also, I really adored how this film was shot. I think it's one of the most beautiful films in this year's competition. And at the same time, I really liked that, if you know Zvagintsev, he is kind of depressive director, and even like in Russian they have the special word for Zvagintsev. It's called Chernuha. It's like black cinema, you know, like the most dark, the darkest cinema you can imagine. And actually I think it's working for Zvagintsev as well. But this film, Minotaur, is trying to be phantasmagorically funny when actually the world is falling apart. And also, do you want to say something?
No, unfortunately, I haven't catched this film, but I would have asked a question since you like showing so much praise of it, because the title really stand out for me, the Minotaur. That's kind of attracts me that I want to watch it. Like, how would you unpack this myth in the text of the film?
Yes, as I said before, if you know about mythos of Minotaur, actually, like every 8 years, Minotaur, people are choosing 14 victims for him and just give those victims to him, just him doesn't bother them. And in this film, main character also is challenged to choose 14 people which are going to the war from his company.
But in a way, it's not. It's not difficult for him to choose the 14 people.
Yes.
What I like about this movie is like on the surface, like you watch an ordinary man with his family, with his kids, but slowly you understand he's completely mad, and this is about somebody completely. With his mind completely crazy.
Exactly. I totally agree with you because, you know, in worldview, like, Russians are perceived as totally nice, cool intelligentsia.
Yeah. I don't think it's about Russia. Yes, it's set in Russia.
It's about the situation in Russia right now.
Yeah, but because it's about somebody in power in a society, and you can see that he's crazy in his job and in his private life. Because I think even when he asked his teenager son to drive a car that he never drove before, it's not a good father.
It's not a good father, but I would say that it's pretty a common thing in Eastern European world when young people, underage ones, are seated in the cars and asked for take a drive, because that's how people are.
I don't want to name the country.
Preparing.
I don't want to name the country, but this is about a mad macho man, macho culture brought to the excess because the poor wife. She needs some romance, some poetic, but this is, you can find this in Russia, and you can find, I don't want to name the country, but you can find this in another country.
Yes.
I don't know.
But you cannot find...
I can say American.
Yes, but you cannot find this mobilization situation when you are actually obliged to choose 14 people which are going to die.
Yeah, the system is terrible. The political system.
It's impossible in America. And
but it's such so well written, because it's show how the state works, but it show also this private life. I like this director is able to understand that you have a full picture. And yes. It's a responsibility of the individual. It's not the party, the political party will change society.
Exactly.
It's the individual. This is what I like about this director.
I totally agree with you. And also I liked this comparison between...
No, but it's clear in his movies, always it's a personal the choice. The protagonist has to choose what to do, to have a dialogue with his wife or they just decide to kill him.
Yes,
the lover of his wife.
Yes, and actually, I wanted to say that it's such a great comparison between a straight and not that straight way of killing someone. Like on one part, you can on one hand, you are sending people to the war just to die, and on the other, on the other hand, you just straightly kill person with a heavy object, which was present in the film, as you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
When he, when the main character just killed the lover of his wife. And actually, I liked this comparison and actual idea that that way of killing, when you are like putting names in the lists and send people to the war, and other way of killing, when you just kill the person harshly with heavy objects, actually are the same. They have like the same consequences.
Yeah, fantastic. Lots of, unfortunately, we don't have much time. We have to crack on the last movie, which is our incredible Pedro Almodovar with Amarga Navidad, Bitter Christmas. This is one pure autofiction, two timelines, two directors, one question: who owns the story? So Almodovar said it is his cruelest film about himself. Colors tells the story. We have this monster, the gold for control. We have blue for cold, the betrayal. And when the assistant wears the director's color, the power flips. It's incredible. Almodovar is a genius. So it's deep and profound, but slow to become personal. I don't think he's a crowd pleaser, but unmistakably Almodovar.
First thing first, I love Almodovar as a director. Like his colors, his music, the beautiful characters he created. I'm always enjoy watching his film, but I kind of stopped expecting anything new from him maybe two movies ago. I enjoy watching it, but just as he stated very clearly by the end of the film, like he is an artist like trapped somewhere, like very having a hard time really creating something. And this is making this autobiographical film very interesting with these two parallel storylines, one fictional, one kind of, well, still fictional, but based on maybe his own lifetime story, kind of interwoven and echoes each other, but also at the same time echoes the reality he is facing at the moment as an artist, as a director. So I think generally, if you love Almodovar and his auteur style, you will enjoy watching this film, but maybe lower your expectations and then you enjoy it more.
Yeah, I totally agree with Tilde, and I think that Almodovar is kind of a hostage of his own style. Last year's, I think it began on Pain and Glory, when he started to talk too much about himself and doing it like in his really vibrant and luxurious interiors. I wouldn't say that this film is bad. I think the main problem is that if you, when you are really into Almodovar context and his corpus of works, you're just getting sick of it. Because when you see like a fourth film in a row with the same way of expressing some feelings, with the same way of storytelling, with the same style, and at the same time, like with those horrendous native integrations of luxury brands like Rimowa, Louis Vuitton, etc., it just starts to piss you off after several films. So yes, even though the film is quite great, I just think personally I'm kind of sick of this regular Almodovar style.
But I want to highlight one scene from that film when they're talking about what is the cult director that bring laughter to everybody in the cinema.
Yes.
She said, "I only made two films and they're bad, but only a couple of people liking it." And I think that's kind of like self-reflexive.
Yeah, it's such a great self-irony, I would say. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I like it as well. And yes, film is exceedingly funny and exceedingly complex.
I think this movie has an incredible moment. The way, for example, you tell in a movie how your mother has died, no?
Yeah.
The way he found, Almodovar found a way, because his mother now passed away, and I think it's so personal. I think he really put his life there. Mm. It's incredible. I mean, it was so emotional, the moment when how we discovered that her mother died, how we discovered at work, something that can happen. But Almodovar had that capacity to, like, with a drop, small drop, another drop, another drop, another drop, and then make an incredible emotion and the tears, no?
Yeah, I mean, hell to Almodovar, who is willing to put so much of his personal life and emotions into it. But how much can you push the boundary? Like, how much of your life you can put into fiction and you can show to the people? And will that hurt the people around you? Yes, I think it's a question that leave for us to discuss after we, you know, getting out
also
of the cinema.
Also, it's incredible how in that moment, how we, it was, we think that she's protecting the lover, because he's younger than her.
Yeah.
And then completely the point of view change, because you understand that the lover decided to protect her, because after longer in the movie. So it's not about age, but it's about love and how love works.
Yes, I couldn't say more. I totally agree with you, actually.
Yeah, and so anyway, that you have identity split in the unknown, a country splitting in Minotaur, and the artist splitting himself open in Marmageddon Navidada, three films, three directors at the top of their game, all asking what happens when control slips away. So that is that's it for Global Critics Cannes Voices. Thanks to my splendid colleagues. I hope you will be back. And thanks you for listening. And we will be back tomorrow with more from the Croisette. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Fred. 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.